نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله all thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our creator, our maker, our sustainer and our judge and we send darood and salam, salutations and blessings upon the beloved and final messenger of Allah ta'ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon his family and upon his companions. This is the third week of Ramadan. It is the 21st of Ramadan, equivalent to the 7th of April of the year 1991. It is a holy year of the Hijrah, 1411. In this holy month and on this holy day, after having performed Salatul Dhuhr with Jama'ah, we commence with our subject, which we have been doing for the last two Sundays, today being the third Sunday, the title of which is Shaitan's Plan for Man. We have dealt with numerous ayat from the Qur'an Pak under the following chapters in the previous 2 weeks. Chapter 1, Creation of Man. Chapter 2, The Jinn. Chapter 3, How Shaitan Deceives Man. Chapter 4, Shaitan is Man's Open Enemy. And Chapter 5, Shaitan's Plan for Man and How Man Can Overcome It. And this week, the third Sunday, we commence with Chapter 6. And the title of Chapter 6 is Shaitan's Betrayal of Man, in which we will look at four ayat of the Holy Quran. My dear brothers and sisters, these ayat of the Quran and this particular chapter deals with a segment of our belief which deals with the hereafter. As I recite these ayat of the Quran to you and comment on them, what I wish that you understand is that although the future is being brought into the present perspective, I draw the information from the Quran, from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are alive and they are true and they do apply, and each one of us believes in them absolutely, with absolute and total faith. Let there be no doubt in a single one's heart and mind that anything which is contained in the Quran regarding the past, the present or the future is not applicable or is irrelevant or is incorrect or about which we can have and express any form or kind of doubt whatsoever. Whatever we are going to hear now is from the Quran. It is absolutely true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though akhirah has not taken place, man has not yet been judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet Allah knows in his absolute knowledge, with his pure wisdom, precisely what is to transpire then. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to inform us about events yet to occur, then they are yet to occur to you and to me. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no difference between the past and the present and the future. All is in one mold, in one atom. Everything is contained in the absolute knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So accept this chapter that we are doing now with regard to shaitan in that sense, and we express our total belief in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Four ayat of the Quran are going to be recited in this chapter, which deals with shaitan's betrayal of man, and it goes as follows. It is an accepted fact and has been a belief of every messenger of Allah ta'ala and every prophet of Allah ta'ala, and I've used the word messenger and prophet in the sense referred to the anbiyas and the rasools, the nabis and the rasools of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also it has been a confession of every revealed book of Allah ta'ala, of every holy sacrament of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and narrated in every revealed religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of which have been abrogated, all of which have been removed, all of them have been replaced with Islam. So, all these religions having been abrogated, save Islam, that shaitan, all of them have taught that shaitan is a reality. That shaitan is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That shaitan is a jinn turned evil and monstrous. That shaitan is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who leads men to evil ways, to corruption and to destruction. There is total agreement amongst all religions in this regard. There has been no vagueness in the teachings of any one of the revealed religions with regard to shaitan throughout time and throughout the duration of man's stay on earth. Islam, however, not only quantitates, but it also qualifies the evil, the diabolic, and the devilish plans of shaitan on man in this world and in the hereafter. We have dealt at length with the satanic ways of shaitan to cause man to be deceived through his devilish and demoniacal ways. We will now look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid about those who become deceived by shaitan in the world and thus become undutiful and unmindful, who become demoralized and corrupt, who become incorrigible and unprincipled in their lives as a result of the whispering suggestions and the impulses and the sensations that shaitan sends to their hearts and to their minds. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ قَدِ اسْتَكْثَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ وَقَالَ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمْ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ رَبَّنَا اسْتَمْتَعَ بَعْضُنَا بِبَعْضٍ وَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَنَا الَّذِي أَجَّلْتَ لَنَا قَالَ النَّارُ مَثْوَاكُمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ Inna Rabbaka Hakimun Alim. Surah An'am, 6th surah of the Quran, ayat number 128, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think of the day when Allah will gather all of them together, mankind and jinn kind. And Allah will say, O company of jinn, you have sought to deceive and to mislead much of mankind. And there, shaitan's friends and followers from among mankind will say, our sustainer, our Rabb, the one of us, in other words men, have received advantage, have benefited from the other, from the jinn. And now we are arrived at our appointed term, which you, O Allah, have established for us. Allah will say, the fire will be your habitation, therein shall you remain forever, save as Allah may will. Verily, Allah is all wise, Allah is all knowing, Allah is Hakim, Allah is Alim. This is what will happen on the day of judgment, the day of reckoning, the day of universal gathering. The shayateen will all be assembled before Allah Ta'ala, and so also their human slaves, their human followers, which will constitute a vast multitude of peoples. They will be grouped together, the shayateen and their followers, those who have followed and obeyed them in the world. The shayateen will be informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they have deceived many amongst mankind for too long. The shayateen have succeeded in cheating, in seducing, and in misleading mankind for too long. This limited term has now come to an end for all of them. The show ends here. The road to further deception for the shayateen is now closed. Guilt-ridden, sin-sodden, evil-begotten mankind, in the presence of the Almighty and the All-Powerful Allah, will answer that they received certain benefits and certain advantages from the shayateen, in that they derived much pleasures from the shayateen, much pleasures of the flesh, much satisfaction for their lusts and their carnal appetites, that they received from the shayateen in the world much vaunting and foretelling, much joy for their egos. All in all, they received from the shayateen in the world much in the way of happiness for their life on earth. Now, however, in front of Allah Ta'ala, there was no way of joking about or ridiculing the Akhirah. This was now for real. This was the end. There was no escape, no loophole. It was very clear. It is very clear to all of them that the term of life has now finally come to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, the ayat following the one I recited, was 128. In ayat number 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing himself to the group of peoples, all the shayateen, as well as all the people, the human beings that followed the shayateen in the world, all having been grouped together, a vast multitude of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, and says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Ya ma'ashara al-jinni wal-insi, alam ya'atikum rusulun minkum yaqussuna alaykum ayati, wa yunzirunakum liqa'a yawmikum hadha. قالوا شهدنا على أنفسنا وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا وشهدوا على أنفسهم أنهم كانوا كافرين. Surah An'am, 6th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 130, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O company of jinn and men, did not the messengers of Allah from among yourselves come to you, rehearsing and recounting my signs unto you, and forewarning you of the meeting of this day? They in turn will answer, we bear witness against ourselves. The present life deceived them, and they will bear witness against themselves that they were unbelievers. Unquote. Brothers, listen to this very carefully, this translation. I do not have time to go into a second and third times repeating. We have a lot to do. There are almost three quarters of the work still to do. And I have this Sunday and next Sunday to try and do as much as I can. So I'm going to cut it short and do the translations as far as possible, only once. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing himself, the evil jinns, which are the shayateen, and they are followers in the world. The Quran uses the word, they will be a vast multitude of peoples, meaning numbering millions and billions of peoples. All of them massed together and grouped together. Angels surrounding them, whipping them if they step out of line. This is again now from Ahadith. Whipping them and putting them. Safs and safs of malaikas surrounding this particular group, imprisoning practically in front and in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whipping them if they try to escape from that particular group. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the earlier ayat which I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing himself to this particular group, look how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ma'ashara al-jinni wal-insi, O company of jinn and men. Who? The rebellious jinn and men, the shayateen and the followers of the shayateen in this world. And here the proof is being presented by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this particular group of peoples and persons. the rebels and the wrongdoers and the sinners that did not the messengers of Allah Ta'ala come to you rehearsing and recounting my signs unto you, telling you about the Akhirah, telling you that if you follow the truth and if you submit to Allah and you believe in one Allah and you believe in the messenger of Allah and you believe in the Kalima and you are virtuous and good and true, you will be rewarded in the hereafter with Jannah? Were you not told these things? Did they not tell you that if you do otherwise and you are disobedient and rebellious, you will receive punishment in the hereafter and everlasting punishment and you will be thrown into the fire of hell? Did they not tell you? Did they not tell you that Akhirah is true, that it will take place? Did they not tell you that Allah is the most powerful, the Qadir, Qadir al-Mutlaq, absolutely powerful? Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and did my messengers not forewarn you and my revealed books not forewarn you of the meeting of the day of judgment? And here is the reply, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah who has knowledge of all, of that which has occurred and that which is yet to occur. And this reply, brothers, you and I will be witness to this reply. Absolutely true, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The group will reply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will say, Qalu Shahidna ala anfusina. We bear witness, they will say, against ourselves. Subhanallah. Too late, brothers. We bear witness again. Today we realize here is haq. We heard all these things. We heard it in our masjids. We heard it in our prayers. And we heard it in the lectures and lessons and sermons. We read about it in the books. We heard it from our friends and companions whom we mocked and we laughed and we jeered and we turned a deaf ear to. Yes, we did hear, but we ignored. Subhanallah. We were negligent. Subhanallah. Oh man. Here it is. They will answer, we bear witness against ourselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comments now. Their actual word will be, Shahidana ala anfusina. We bear witness against ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, وَغَرَّتُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, you know why? Because the present life deceived them. This world is an illusion, brothers. It will not last. It will not remain forever. It is not everlasting. It is one big bubble which will burst one day. And you will discover that it was a bubble. And you were told all the time it is an illusion and a bubble. And you would not believe that this is a vacuum. Nothing here is going to last. This is an illusion. The present life deceived them, says Allah. This is why they followed the shayateen, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of judgment, Allah reiterates and confirms what they are going to say. And they will themselves bear witness that they were unbelievers, in brackets, in the world. Subhanallah, there is no chance of deception. There is no chance of devising or temporizing. You know, temporizing, I explained last week, meaning measures of deception, measures of expediency. In the presence of Allah Ta'ala, no such measures will be able to be taken by mankind. Men have no way of wriggling out of the judgment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Men and jinn admit that their term is at its finality. It is at its end. They admit their guilt. Men admit that they were deceived by the shayateen into kufr and into shirk, into batil and into haram. That day they will stand and realize that it was the shayateen, that shaitan led us into these evils. Brothers, don't wait until that day. Know from now, O mankind, know it from now that shaitan deceives you and deludes you in this way. Don't wait until we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit our guilt. Decision is left to Allah Ta'ala. Many men, many male and female, men and women have this idea in their subconscious that even on that day we will be forgiven. Don't play with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There is no such thing as forgiveness in the hereafter. Forgiveness is here in this world. It is our actions, our a'mal, wherein we seek forgiveness. decision is left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Neither men nor jinn have any choice in that matter. Allah ta'ala is the sole judge, and Allah ta'ala's judgment, just and proportionate, is announced. The fire of Jahannam will be your habitation. Therein shall you remain forever. An-naru maswakum khalidina fiha. My dear brothers and sisters, there is no getting away from Akhirah. There is no escape from Hisab and Kitab, from judgment and sentence by Allah Ta'ala. Those who have escaped from the clutches of Shaitan are the fortunate ones. As for the others, what will they do when they have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of mankind has received warnings and repeated warnings from Allah ta'ala. Yet so many of us, so many in mankind, are easily misled by shaitan. So many practice evil and sin. So many indulge in wrong and error. So many prefer false ways and worthless pursuits. In the end, what will all these things and wrongs bring to them? What will these evils bring to them? So many among us think that no one is aware of our misconduct and our misdemeanors. We feel we successfully hide them away. What will such reprehensible and iniquitous behavior bring us on the day of judgment? Shame and disgrace, that is all we're going to receive on the day of judgment. Shaitan's treachery and Shaitan's betrayal of man is not only for the hereafter. Even in the world, he will desert his most ardent followers if he discovers that they will be defeated by a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will flee from the scene even after being responsible for instigating and causing conflict and dissension between peoples. Such an example of cowardly conduct by Shaitan is given in the Quran Majid in the following words. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the second ayat which I recite in this particular chapter. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ فَلَمَّا تَرَاتِ الْفِعَتَانِ نَكَسَ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ وَقَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكُمْ إِنِّي أَرَىٰ مَا لَا تَرَوْنَا إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Surah Anfal, 8th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 48 says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember when Shaitan made their works fair seeming to them and said, no one in mankind will prevail against you this day, and I will surely be near to help you, to assist you, and to protect you. But when the two armies were in sight of each other, he, Shaitan, turned back on his heels and he said, verily, I am clear of you. I certainly see that which you cannot see. I fear Allah, for Allah is severe in punishing. Unquote. Shaitan provoked the unbelievers on the day of Badr. Allah Ta'ala gives one example. An example that has been repeated millions and millions of times thereafter. Shaitan provoked the unbelievers, the kuffar and the mushrikeen, munafiqeen of Makkah Mukarramah, to rally themselves against Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his small band of believers. Shaitan provoked the unbelievers and he incited them to go to war against the believers during Badr. But when he saw the malaikas, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, descending to assist the Muslimin, mu'mineen, he retreated, clearly betraying those whom he had incited thus far. Shaitan knows and fears the power and the qudra of Allah Ta'ala, and he fears the piety and the virtue of the Allah-fearing muttaqeen, salihin, mukhlaseen. So Shaitan is not only an inciter, an instigator, and an evil whisperer. He is also a traitor. He is also a coward. He is also a betrayer of his friends and accomplices and followers. One who misleads people through deception, and then he spurns them and he dumps them. Knowing this habit of Shaitan, why some Muslims would continue to obey him and follow his whispered instructions is against all logic and reason. Why seek self-punishment for ourselves? Why commit sin in the first place? Why live in rebellion to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why give shaitan the upper hand in this world? Surely we know better than to make fools of ourselves. Who can escape the inevitable death and its consequences? Who can doubt judgment and the hereafter, which you and I refer to as Akhirah and Yawmul Qiyamah? The speech of shaitan in the hereafter to his obedient and willing servants and slaves, to his agreeable followers, is noted in the Quran Majid by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I referred to this, I think, last week's lesson or the week before, that I will read out to you and recite to you that particular khutbah or the words used by Quran, his delivery after sentence is passed and they have been placed, he and his followers have been placed in Jahannam. The talk that he will give there and the speech that he will give there to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his wisdom, in his hikmah, in his total knowledge, has given an account of that particular speech in the Holy Quran. And that is what we are now going to recite and tell you what shaitan is going to do with the people that love him and follow him. The words of the Quran Majid, every word is true. They ought to profoundly influence us in the direction our lives are taking in this world. Too many of us are becoming cheats and frauds with our lives. We need to make amends and to beseech Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. We must implore and beseech Allah Ta'ala while we live in the dunya, for in the akhirah we will find no opportunity to do so. So many of us reduce ourselves to ashes through sins and transgressions in the world. This must end. We must not allow ourselves to be deceived and deluded by shaitan, who is, after all, our open enemy, a declared enemy of entire mankind. We must not allow him to penetrate us, to enter us, and to then deceive us and delude us as easily as he has been doing up to this time. Shaitan's whispers, shaitan's sensations, suggestions, and impulses must be rejected, and they can be rejected through piety and virtue and devoutness, through true submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is my humble prayer and my sincere wish that each and every one of us will become more aware of our common enemy, shaitan, as a result of these lessons, and will clear their way for the future by following and obeying only Allah Ta'ala and Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah. Ameen. Now here follow the words of shaitan as recorded in the Quran Majid. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِيَّ إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِي مِنْ قَبْلِ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. Surah Ibrahim, 14th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 22, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever Allah says is haqq, and shaitan will say. And shaitan will say, after judgment has been given by Allah, verily, Allah promised you a promise of truth. Who says these are the words of shaitan? And shaitan will say, to whom will he say? To all those who followed him in the world in the ways of evil. When will he say this to them? He will say this to them when he and his group both from the jinn and from the men. All the evildoers, the wrongdoers, all of them have been placed by the malaikas in Jahannam. At that time, shaitan will turn, or the leader of the shaitan will turn, of the shayateen will turn and address himself to all these people that have been placed in hell. And these are the words that he will say. And shaitan will say, after judgment has been given by Allah, verily, Allah promised you a promise of truth, of haqq. And I, meaning shaitan, and I also made you a promise. But I deceived you. Here is the word. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Allah made you a promise. And that promise was a true promise. But you left that promise of Allah and you followed me. And I also made you promises. And the promises I made to you, here is the words, that was to deceive you. And shaitan will say, after judgment has been given by Allah, verily Allah promised you a promise of truth, and I also made you a promise. But the promises I made you, I deceived you thereby. Yet I had no power, I had no authority over you. In other words, to force you and to compel you. But I only called you, I only beckoned you, I only suggested to you, and you responded to my call. Therefore, blame not me, but blame yourselves. Blame not me, but blame yourselves. In other words, as they are being transported by the malaikas into Jahannam, this is a hadith, as they are being transported and carted away from the field of Hashar, from the field of judgment into Jahannam, all his followers are now complaining. Yes, but you, Shaitan, you, Iblis, you are the one that misled us. You are the cause that we are being put into the fire of Jahannam. You are the cause we are going to burn in the fire of Jahannam. You are the cause that Allah's wrath and anger is upon us today. And so they will be jostling and shouting and screaming amongst the peoples that are being led into Jahannam, with shayateen at their head. The screaming and the crying will be going on there, and the wailing will be going on at the back. And as they are being led that into Jahannam, this is what shaitan, as they are led into Jahannam, he will stand by the doors of Jahannam. Hadith says he will stand by the doors of Jahannam, and as the people are pushed inside, he will stand there and address himself to them and clear himself of the accusation which is being made by mankind, evil mankind against him. Here it is in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything. Allah, whose knowledge is absolute, he is alim, he is hakim, says Allah ta'ala. Shaitan will say, therefore, blame not me, but blame yourselves. I cannot assist you, but neither can you assist me. Verily, I do now reject your having associated me with Allah before this. In other words, here is an official statement, you can call, by shaitan, absolving himself of leading people into kufr and shirk. But where, until when? He waits until they are into Jahannam. Only then does he declare, make this declaration. Verily, I do now reject your having associated me with Allah before this. Verily, for the wrongdoers, says Allah Ta'ala, there is a grievous punishment. In this way, shaitan disassociates himself from his friends, his supporters, and his followers. And he spurns them, he spits upon them. They who have obeyed him in so many different ways, they have listened to his whisperings, they have followed his suggestions, they have adored his incitements, thinking that these were inspirations from Allah Ta'ala. I have already mentioned, and I will not keep saying this, that he comes in many disguises. That is why I say they will think that they were following inspiration by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in a pious garb. In a very pious garb, as a pious man, as an ibadat doing and making person, as an abid, as a saint, as a man whom you have perhaps seen performing nights and nights of ibadah. He will come in that garb and that guise to you, and he will make you do things which are evil and sinful. And then you will think you are acting in accordance with inspiration that you have received from Allah Ta'ala, or advice that and counsel that you have received from somebody who is very pious, and you cannot detect, because you don't want to see and you don't want to detect, that he is shaitan, that he's making these evil suggestions to you. So it is that on that day it will be too late. So they have followed his suggestions, they've adored his incitements, thinking that these were inspirations from Allah Ta'ala. Men knew that shaitan was their proclaimed and their irreconcilable enemy, yet they continued to fall for his ploys and his temptations and his various contrivances. On the day of judgment, shaitan will wipe his hands off them. He will absolve himself of all blame for corrupting men. Shaitan merely plays on the weakness of men. He cannot force them to deviate. This we learn from this particular ayat of the Quran. He cannot force and compel them to actually go into action, to actually commit the deed. He can only suggest the deed. He does not compel man to commit the deed. He only suggests it. There's a big difference between suggestion, auto-suggestion, impulse and sensation, whispers, whispering one into one's heart and into mind to do an evil deed. There's a difference between suggesting the deed and actually committing the deed. He suggests the deed. He doesn't make you commit it. You commit the deed. Therefore, you are the guilty one, not shaitan. Shaitan will be punished for the guilt of suggestion, yes. But the guilt of actually committing the deed, who? That is your fault. That is man's fault. On the day of judgment, shaitan will wipe his hands off these people. He will absolve himself of all blame for corrupting men. Shaitan merely plays on the weakness of men. He cannot force them or compel them to deviate. Deviation and perversion comes from themselves, from their insincerity, lack of ikhlas, from their weakness of their iman, from their own desire, and from their own self-will and free choice. Subhanallah, man, you have got the right to choose. You have a will. You've got a willpower. Shaitan cannot make you commit an awful, wrongful and sinful deed. No, he can't. He can suggest it, yes. Who does it? We do it. So we suffer the consequences of our evil deeds. Shaitan only shows us the way, the wrong way, the false way, the evil and the sinful way. But it is men that follow these ways of their own free will. Instead of heeding to the call of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went after shaitan. Now look what shaitan tells them after sentence is pronounced by Allah Ta'ala, sending them all into hellfire, into the raging inferno and fires of Jahannam. And brothers, it's inconceivable to the human mind what the raging fires of Jahannam are, and or to what distance the heat of the fire alone spreads. Believe me, brothers, absolutely. Believe Quran, brothers. Believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every word of the Quran, each dot, each mark in the Quran is haq, it is true. Each letter is absolutely true. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah to us. Mankind, this particular group, the followers amongst men of shayateen and the shayateen, they will be flummoxed, meaning completely axed and bewildered by shaitan, as he, in taking his final bow, leaves all his adherents and hangers-on in the lurch in Jahannam. They will shout to him and cry out to him for help and assistance on that day. And that is why in this ayat you learn, he says, I can't help you. You can't help me. There's no turning back now. All of us are lost. He succeeds in deceiving them, even at the very end. For he waits until they are all in Jahannam before telling them that he's washing his hands off them. This is why I called this chapter the betrayal by shaitan of man. And the punishment of Allah Ta'ala is very severe. for plentiful are the warnings that have been given to mankind. I mention once again that to follow the suggestions of shaitan means to disobey Allah Ta'ala. And this can eventually expand through repeatedly following shaitan to belief and to even worship of shaitan. To disobey Allah Ta'ala is kufr. To worship shaitan is shirk. And kufr eventually leads to shirk. It leads to a hardening of the heart and to a blindness of the mind and to a sinking of the person into iniquity and blunder. Muslims, beware. Shaitan is your open enemy. Becoming aware of the dangers and threats posed by shaitan to man alone is insufficient to save man from the clutches of shaitan. Awareness must be accompanied with practice of the tenets of the deen, with the practice of the sunnah of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no elaboration, brothers, I've said this many times in the past. The sunnah provides those who practice sunnah with the protective armor of nur. When shaitan notices this shield around those who practice sunnah, shaitan will not approach. Wallah, shaitan dare not approach. Wallah, shaitan is a coward when he sees the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala surrounding the pious and the virtuous and the devout who practice sunnah. Shaitan will not come near you. Shaitan dare not come near you. Shaitan fears you. Shaitan keeps away from you. Shaitan by leaps and bounds runs away from you. That is sunnah, the sunnah that you and I mock so often. We must practice obedience. In other words, practically demonstrate our obedience to Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only then will we be guided and we be protected by Allah Ta'ala from the seductions and the seditious ways of the shayateen. It is to this effect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, and this is the fourth ayat coming up, and the last ayat in this particular chapter, it goes as follows, and it deals with the mercy and the compassion of Allah Ta'ala on those who seek it. Says Allah Ta'ala, وَلَوْلَا فَضُلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Surah Nisafat, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 83, says Allah Ta'ala, and had it not been for the grace of Allah upon you and for the mercy of Allah upon you, you would surely have followed shaitan, save a handful of you, save a few of you. Subhanallah. Look at these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mankind, we are weak. We are weak. We are constructed weak. We have already discussed that. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man, you are so weak that were it not for the fadl of Allah, were it not for the rahmah of Allah, we could not have been able to save ourselves from shaitan. It is only وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Then we would surely have followed shaitan, excepting a few of us. Thus we see that it is only by the grace, but for the grace and mercy of Allah, that we can be saved from the deceptions and delusions of shaitan. We have to worship, we have to serve, we have to obey Allah, we have to strive to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and this we can only achieve by following the sunnah of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I cannot emphasize that enough. This is our only saving grace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِئِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِهِ فَعُلَائِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Surah Nur, 24th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 52, says Allah, and whoever obeys Allah, and whoever obeys the Messenger of Allah, and whoever fears Allah, and whoever is devout towards Allah, these will be the successful ones. Who obeys Allah. little ones. Who obeys Allah and His Messenger? Number one, obeys Allah. Number two, obeys the Messenger of Allah. Number three, fears Allah. Number four, and he is devout towards Allah. That's the fourth one. This is our task and our duty in this world, to work our passage through this world in obedience and submission to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to fear Allah and to practice restraint for a successful life of eternity in the hereafter. Brothers, that concludes chapter 6. We now proceed with chapter 7. The title is The Story of Shaitan. What we have been doing is we've been moving from the way Shaitan deceives and deludes man through, and we're going backwards. In other words, we're going deeper into history. Instead of starting right from, so to say, from the historical origin of Shaitan, instead of starting from his origin and coming forward to the deceptions and delusions, I have decided to take the deceptions and ways of how man, he deludes, how Shaitan deludes man, and working backwards and going into the origin and history of Shaitan. So we are actually going backwards to the origin of Shaitan. And in doing so, we commence now with the story of Shaitan, in which we will look at 6 ayat of the Quran. One of the major signs of Qiyamah will be the inclination among many people in mankind to follow Shaitan and to disdain, to look with disdain upon religion. And by disdain I mean to think unworthy, to think that religion is unworthy and unfit. Meaning to have a scornful aversion for deen, for Islam. We are concerned with only one deen, for inna deena inda Allahil Islam. There is only one religion by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the religion of Islam. All the other religions have been discounted. Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, you name any ism, there is only one ism, and that is Islam. That is the only religion by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is recognized. All the others have been abrogated, they have been cancelled. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly spoken about the final days, the signs of Qiyamah, minor signs and major signs. Thousands of minor signs and a few hundred major signs. One of the major signs of the coming of the Day of Judgment, of Qiyamah, will be the inclination amongst many people in mankind to follow Shaitan and to disdain Islam. Propensity towards evil and sin will attract people towards Shaitan, and many will be enchanted by the snares and traps that Shaitan sets for man. In other words, man, there will come a time when man will actually look for, he will be aware, but he will look for the traps and the snares that Shaitan sets for man. The fascination for secularist, or rather materialist, tendencies will lure more and more people into the laps of the shayateen. With the advance of science and technology, as in our day and age, and with the discovery of the heavens, all the major discoveries that are being made so rapidly, man will become so secularist orientated. He will become so worldly wise, so much in the drowned in the sciences of the world, that Quran will be pushed to the back. And the teachings of Islam will be pushed also to the back. And the Sunnah will become a forgotten practice. By choice, man will do this. Obviously, we are addressing ourselves to the Muslimin. For many will be the Muslims that are involved in this. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his ahadith, is addressing Muslims, not non-Muslims. He's addressing us, because it is us that will, he is concerned with, and it is us that he is worrying about. And it is us that are going to be involved in such indulgences. The fascination for secularist tendencies and ideals will lure more and more people into the laps of the shayateen. I'll give you a few examples. Mephistopheles, the diabolic spirit of Goethe's Faust, will draw the worldly wise and the secularly trained and imbibed peoples. This is for the academics. Lucifer and Beelzebub, the prince of devils, will attract the rascals and the villains within society. The evil spirit of Belial will draw the wicked and the immoral ones, and the demoniacal strength of Titan will augur well for the weak and the faint-hearted, but the sinful and the petty ones. Shaitan, as the prince of darkness, as the tempter, as the devil incarnate, meaning appearing to man in flesh and body, which Shaitan does, he will do it more and more often towards the end of time. He will appear more often and in many guises, many disguises, and in thousands of different locations, in millions of different locations. Remember, he outnumbers us. The Shayateen outnumber us. He will appear all over. He will mesmerize us with his false promises, with his delusions and his deceptions. How are we going to counter it? The reason for him appearing in so many millions of places and deceiving us will be our amal will not be there anymore. The iman will not be there anymore. Shaitan as the prince of darkness, as the tempter, as the seducer, as the devil incarnate, will draw people in their millions to his worship through his diabolic and devilish and his cunning ways. As evil spreads and as evil increases throughout the world, so people will come to believe in his powers and they will set him up and address him as his satanic majesty. There will be hunger, there will be hunger and thirst amongst the sinful and the wayward peoples. There will be a very great quest for learning the mysteries of the powers of darkness and evil. Satanism and black magic will be freely indulged in. Laws and rules of decency and shame will be cast aside as people seek to satisfy their lusts and their passions in the name of Shaitan, openly exposing themselves in the fields and in the streets. Wallah, this is ahadith, brothers. Men and women will commit zina, adultery and fornication, openly exposing themselves in the fields and the streets, open to the public. Who will make them do this? Millions of Muslims all over the world will be caught up in these evils, in the evils set up by satanic cults and by Satan worship. Natural calamities will descend one after the other as reminders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon mankind. But man will not let up. The pious will live in constant danger of their lives. They will be harassed. They will be tormented. The pious will be tortured. We see the signs all around us. My dear brothers and sisters, we live in dangerous times. Just to give you one example, gay communities are being set up, parts and sections in Europe, in the States, and in other Western countries, portions by demand of residential areas are set up for gay communities where they can practice their way of life freely. You know this. What does this mean? Doesn't this tell us that the ahadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is haq, it is true? Nakedity is rampant even in South Africa. Nudism, they call it. You know it. nude colonies are being set up, how long is a fence going to protect them and guard them? Soon there will be so many that they will break out of their fences. Laws will have to be perhaps brought up initially, which will be broken eventually, that people who want to live naked in their houses and their yards cannot be restricted from doing so. Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sits 14 centuries ago and he says all these things. Here what I am saying is Shaitan is the instigator. He is the seducer. And we see the signs all around us. That is why I say Muslimin, our youth, our young people, our children and the generations to come. Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried and cried and he wept and wept. Need I tell you how he wept and how he cried? For what? It is for these times. It was revealed to him what would happen to his ummah towards the end of time. He saw the fate. He saw what awaits us. Allah's rahmah is tremendous upon the true believers towards the end of time. All we got to do is seek Allah, seek tawbah, seek forgiveness, and ask and seek of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we got to go straight. We have to go straight. We have to be disciplined in our lives. Our iman has to be very, very strong, and our lives have to be moral, brothers. Morality is an absolute requisite in these times. Fathers and mothers of you, it is the most stringent requirement that you lead absolutely pure, sincere and moral lives. If morality is not your guideline, you will cheat your descendants. All those that you are going to come from you, they will curse you all the time. Every child that is born after you have committed that which is sinful, every child that is born thereafter until the day of judgment will pile his curses upon you. So all these we have been told, brothers and sisters, we have to be very, very careful in our lives. Restraint, if we are not prepared to practice, to live is not worth it. What we have to know, however, is the following. The pious will live in constant danger of their lives. Many will lose their lives to protect their honor. It's going to be hard, brothers. It's very difficult for me to give you all those ahadiths now. But any man, a true believer, a mu'min, a mukhlis who tries to keep away from the promptings of shaitan and the evil indulgences which shaitan makes people do, if he tries to keep away from them, he is going to suffer for his belief. Oh yes, Allah's rahmah will be with him. Allah's nusra will be with him. But that doesn't mean he will not suffer for his belief. Suffering is part of belief. Suffering is a requirement of belief. Do not think that if we believe, we are above suffering. Allah's protection sometimes comes in a disguised form. It comes in the form of suffering. Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered more than any man. Subhanallah, and yet he was the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the anbiyas have suffered and suffered such tortures and torments as very few people have. Isn't that a lesson for us? We need to have knowledge of the workings of shaitan. We have to know that shaitan cannot subvert us, that he cannot subdue us, as long as we are Allah abiding. Shaitan is not strong, brothers. Shaitan is not strong. He is not powerful. His powers are limited. Though his forces and his resources are many, his plans are many, he cannot compel us to sin. He merely conspires and he suggests. He only plots and he instigates. Allah fear, Allah and a Rasul obedience and a restraint are too powerful for shaitan. He tries, oh yes, shaitan tries. He never stops trying. He never lets up. But he flees like a coward when he is defeated. He fears the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here's a clue to you for parts of the lesson that are yet to come. Learn the attributes, the sifat. Not all if you don't want. Some of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just say, Allah, Ghaffar, Rahim, Ghafoor, Rahman, Aleem, Kareem, Hakim, all these words that learn these words and use these words whenever you feel that shaitan is pestering you and he is making evil suggestions and whispers to you. Take the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with a powerful drift of mind, you force shaitan out of you. He will run and he will flee, for he fears nothing more than the sifat, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how did shaitan gain such immense conspiratorial strength over man? Before proceeding with the story of shaitan, I deem it appropriate to take up the story from the Quran Kareem. In other words, before going to the Ahadith. Thereafter, we can proceed with a commentary as drawn from the Tafasir and Ahadith. We will do 6 ayat of the Quran and thereafter proceed with the numerous ahadith on the subject. And we will look at the tafasir. The early story of shaitan is given in several surahs of the Quran. In other words, in various chapters and various portions of the Quran. They are supplementary and very enlightening. I am sure that they will help us a great deal and guide us to greater obedience of Allah Ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first ayat we look at is the following. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَا فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 34, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recall the time when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam. And they prostrated themselves except for Iblis, who refused and was puffed up with pride, and he became of the unbelievers. The command to prostrate to Adam is mentioned here as being given to the angels, but the Mufassirin are agreed that it applies to all creatures of Allah Ta'ala, to all of mankind and jinn. Shaitan was a jinn. So this command of Allah Ta'ala applied equally to him. Shaitan's response was a firm and an unyielding one. He rejected the command of Allah Ta'ala. He refused to bow down to Adam alayhi salam. And he consequently became a kafir. This is clear from this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with the reason for shaitan's misconduct. He was proud. He was arrogant. Personal egoism blinded him to the immensity of his sin, which was going to prove catastrophic for him. As we shall see further, in the next ayat which I am about to recite, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with regard to the story of shaitan, as follows, وَلَكَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين قال فاهبط منها فما يكون لك أن تتكبر فيها فاخرج إنك من الصاغرين قال أنذرني إلى يوم يبعثون قال إنك من المنذرين قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين قال اخرج منها مزعوما مدهورا لمن تبعك منهم لأملأن جهنم منكم اجمعين. صدق الله العظيم. Surah A'raf, 7th surah of the Quran, ayat number 11 to ayat number 18, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to the story of shaitan. And brothers, how important must the story be? How important must the qissa of shaitan be? How important must this knowledge be for mankind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such detail has informed us of the story of shaitan? Translation goes as follows. And assuredly, says Allah, and assuredly we, meaning Allah, and assuredly we created you, and afterwards we formed you, O Adam. O Adam, in other words, O mankind. And assuredly we created you, and we formed you, shaped you, molded you, gave you life. And then we said to the malaikas, we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam. Then they all fell prostrate except Iblis. He was not of those who fell prostrate. Allah said to him, what prevented you from falling into prostration when I so commanded you to do? Shaitan said, I am better than he. You have created me of fire, and you have created him of clay. Allah said, get you down from here, for it is not proper for you to behave proudly herein. So go out of here. Verily, you are of the contemptuous. Shaitan said, grant me respite until the day of resurrection. Allah said, verily, you are of the respited. Shaitan said, because you have made me astray, I will lay in wait, I will lurk for men in your straight path. Then I will come upon them from before them, and from behind them, and from their right, and from their left. And you, O Allah, will not find most of them thankful. Allah said, go out of here, despised and banished. Whoever of them, of men and jinn, that follow you, I will surely fill hell. I will surely fill Jahannam with you all. Unquote. Thus we see how enormous was the disobedience of shaitan, how superfluous his reason or his reasoning, and how disastrous the consequences of his action in disobeying a commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, in his wisdom and glory, granted respite, which means a reprieve, a suspension of sentence to shaitan. For pious and obedient men and jinn have nothing to fear from shaitan. Why should he not be granted respite by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do the willing slaves and the submitting slaves and those who surrender themselves to the will of Allah ta'ala, what need have they to fear shaitan? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. So, why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not grant respite to shaitan? On being granted respite, shaitan spells out very, very clearly his means of vengeance on man for being granted vicegerency of the earth, for being made and declared the Khalifa of Allah Ta'ala on earth, and for being granted a superior status. That is why he was so mad. That is why he had this mania. This was unbearable for him, that man was superior to him. He was swollen up with pride in himself. How could a creature made of earth and mud be superior to one made of fire? Shaitan had reached the highest ranks of honor by his faithfulness, in that he was in the dominion of the angels in the heavens. So how could he be mistaken in refusing to bow down to Adam, even when so commanded by Allah Ta'ala?